performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello. Thanks for tuning in today. This episode is an exciting one. I'm joined by Thomas and Bobsey, the minds behind Luminous Red, a company that produces some of the best red light therapy panels on the market. So who are they? Barbara, also goes by Bobsey, is a researcher in the field of burnout and happiness. Thomas is the lighting expert. They're both currently PhD students that love to ask questions, like how does light affect our bodies, minds, and well-being? Or how can we use different techniques to deal with stress in various aspects of our everyday life? Today, they're on the front lines, optimizing human performance via Luminous Red. But they weren't always performing as high. Their journey started out of necessity when they were feeling mediocre. As customers, they saw an unmet need for community, education, and most importantly, high-quality devices. Today, we're going behind the kimono of the red light industry. After years of research, I purchased from them in 2020, but only after grilling them over the technical aspects and details of their product. To this day, I still haven't seen a single device with a better power-to-value ratio. Some of the things you'll learn in this episode include: what is red light therapy and why does it matter? The science-backed benefits of red light therapy, or sometimes called photobiomodulation. How to use it properly. Hacks and tips to get more out of your red light therapy sessions. The ways light can impact cognition. Using light to enhance recovery and workout performance. How you can identify, remove, and replace so-called junk light from your house, the bad light sources that interfere with your biology, from sleep to workout performance, to vision, to nervous system stress, and much more. And next week, we'll explore the science of how timing impacts your biology with a chronobiologist named Greg Potter. Before we start, remember to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe. That's how I bring you new and noteworthy guests. On to the show. We're joined today with Bobsey and Thomas out of Luminous Red, a company that specializes in all things red light therapy. How are you guys doing today?
We're great. We're super excited. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the invite. Yeah, we're doing awesome.
Can't wait to talk about our favorite biohack.
My pleasure. So what have you guys done so far? What unusual things for your health and performance?
I think Thomas is more of the unusual biohacker. I myself am quite a basic biohacker, or natural biohacker, I would call myself. I believe in basic hacks that are super effective. So basically for me, grounding, cold therapy, red light therapy, of course, breath work. Those are like my main three hacks that I like to do.
And for me, I think like maybe the weirdest thing I've done. So I've spent a couple of years here in Graz, Austria, where we are based in a biohacking lab. It's like next to the university, and you can try out things. It's really cool. It's I think one of the first and only biohacking labs that is publicly open in whole Europe. And what I've done there is a couple of things, but the weirdest is we cultured bacteria from Danish mother's milk, because there is a few research pieces that say that the bacteria, especially the Lactobacillus reuteri in the Danish mother's milk, it gives you basically superpowers. So it supercharges hair growth, body fat loss, and so on. And so we cultured that, and tried it out, and that's what I do daily. So I have my Mother's Milk yogurt that I take daily.
Ah, that's cool. That's a new one. Never heard that. So a little context for my listeners. I first came across red light therapy and luminous red specifically when I was doing some research on one of the most popular panels in the market and looking for better, more affordable, more powerful alternatives, and stumbled upon these two, had a chat with them, saw some glowing reviews online, and reached out. And that was last year in 2020, and we've been in touch ever since then, and I've turned on a bunch of people to their products and personally have been loving it, and decided that because of the research and everything they're doing around red light therapy, it'd be fun to have them on the show and chat about the future developments and how light therapy impacts cognition and overall performance. So what's your backstory? How did you guys get into light therapy, biohacking, health optimization, you name it?
Very brief story, because I think we could go on for hours on that topic. Out of a personal need, basically. So both of us weren't feeling so well 3 years ago. For me, it was more on the psychological side, a lot of seasonal affective depression or like sadness around winter time. Generally a lot of stress. I was heading towards the direction of a burnout. We wanted to make our own red light room in our home. So no business idea yet. And once we started to feel better, we kind of looked behind all of it. Mm. We kind of got interested in the tech. We're missing a few things in our own customer journey. And yeah, we just decided to kind of combine our professional expertises and make something better.
Yeah, so it's like Babsi said, for us, we tried out a lot of things at this time, because yeah, Babsi was not feeling so well mentally. And for me, it was like I was had blood values of an 80-year-old, basically, because my whole body broke down because of an operation. And I've been also burned out a bit, because I ran a fintech at the time, and it really, really was stressful.
Yeah.
And so for us, a lot of biohacks did quite a lot. So we got our energy back. But what we saw is really like this advantage of using light as a non-invasive drug, so to say, that can be used. Because for us, the most important thing with all these biohacks is that you can use it for a prolonged period of time. So for the rest of our lives, basically, or ideally, because we are still young and we want to build from here and build our health span, so to say. Hmm.
I've heard more and more recently that light is being viewed as in a different lens, as a drug, and the profound effects of it are becoming more well known.
Definitely. I agree. And it was really interesting, because for me personally, I've never used light therapeutically before, if I might say so. Thomas studied lighting design or lighting engineering. Mm. So I kind of got the information a little bit from his side, like light is very impactful, not only natural light, but also the electrical light that we like kind of dive in every day, all day. Yeah. And yeah, when we weren't feeling good, it wasn't our first idea, but it was definitely the one that really stuck with us once we stuck to it.
Yeah, because what I think, or what we slowly start to realize, is that in biohacking, there are, I would say, two main routes to go. So the first is like real interventions where you change something or take literally a drug. And you get kickstarted. And the second thing is that you add something to your body so it can live or fulfill its full potential. And I would say light is a thing like that. So if you change your daily rhythm, or if you look at your circadian rhythm, or also if you do red light therapy, it basically, maybe I would say it isn't really like a drug that elevates you somehow or does something, give something extra, but it basically lets your body get on high drive and live its full potential. And so for me, or especially as young people, you often look at things from the outside, or you can get from the outside that elevate your understanding of the world. And So usually you look at other things, and light is also for us, it was like the last thing, so to say. But we then saw it's like the greatest leverage for us. It was the greatest leverage for us. Yeah, definitely.
To take a step backward for people that don't understand, what is red light therapy and how does that compare to other light therapy? What makes red light therapy special?
So really briefly, because I think that's the easiest to understand, red light therapy or photobiomodulation uses certain wavelengths of light, specifically red and near infrared light, to activate our cells. So it's a kind of light that you shine onto your body or also kind of consume through your eyes that activates the mitochondria, that's a part of the cell, where more cellular energy is created. And that's kind of the key to everything we find. It's the key to a healthy lifespan, to a longer lifespan, to longevity, true biological well-being.
I've worked as a brain coach for a startup based out of New York. And one of the complaints and requests that I've heard over and over from customers is that they want more energy. And yes. I personally like to sun gaze and to watch the natural sunrise and sunset when possible. But sometimes, whether it's a meeting or other commitment, I'm unable to get out and do that. And when I can't do that, or if I just want to get a little extra light exposure because I'm inside most of the day, then I'll flip on my Luminous Red Model 2 Pro light panel and reap the benefits.
Yeah, that's also the interesting part. I think what's also very important to mention is it's not a substitute for like sunlight or different kinds of lens. It's really a practical, very easy to use add-on that could kind of give you those last 10-20% that you can't get otherwise. So it's a really cool add-on to a certain lifestyle, to a healthy lifestyle with a balanced diet. Enough exercise, also enough sunlight, going outside, of course. And then adding that will kind of give you the key to everything.
In this episode, I want to touch mostly on the mental and physical performance side of things, but what are the other benefits that people get from red light therapy?
Yeah, so basically, as Babsi said, what this kind of light does, or what we know so far in science, is that it basically upregulates our mitochondria. So our mitochondria, they convert energy you take from food more efficiently and more effectively to energy that can be used within our bodies. So there is, I think right now we are at more than 5,000 research papers on the topic of red and near infrared light so far, in various fields. So mostly I would say it's in medical fields that try to treat health issues, where you see wound healing, where you see something like recovery from operations. You also see sleep disorders. You see also studies on mental kind of things. Depressions and so on, and you see a multitude of studies, of course, on all things recovery in sports, also performance in sports. We also have quite a few studies right now, I think, especially in the last 5-6 years, on all things aging. So dementia, there are quite a few studies also on brain health in general, and a deterioration of cells, also on the big thing that only a few people on this planet have to bear, I say, is mitochondrial dysfunction, where basically your body really not only slows down, but stops to work, unfortunately. Yeah.
But also very general things like inflammation, better circulation. The beauty sector is also coming on to red light therapy, especially with better skin density, better skin or smoother skin, fine lines, collagen production. So it seems like the list of benefits is going on, and it makes it kind of hard to believe that this is something that's actually existing in real life. but the application shows that it's quite a fundamental thing that basically yes. everyone should add to their everyday life.
Yeah, because like this basic hypothesis is that, as we said, the mitochondria is like the core of our human health and longevity, basically. And if we sustain it, and if we are able to sustain it and to make it work in a more effective, more efficient way, then basically all processes within our bodies work better, so to say. Yeah.
And it seems today that everyone's using it, from Olympians to CEOs to your average person that wants better skin.
True.
Definitely. Yeah. So we saw it like in Olympic athletes. I think it was the first main mainstream usage, so to say. So they use it for the last 10 years plus, I would say, at least. And right now, in the last 3 to 5 years, we see it in amateur athletes a lot. And of course, as you said, in high performers in higher positions, so CEOs, founders, and so on. Because I think that the coolest thing about red light therapy is that it's something that you can easily use. It takes 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, depending on what you want, of course. But you can do it while brushing your teeth, and you reap the benefits. So that's amazing. And you have almost no side effects so far. So science, we cannot really pinpoint any side effects, especially at the usages that you have with general wellness and health. Yeah.
And I've even heard one prominent red light therapy researcher go on to say that the side effects that we do know of are questionable at best, and he thinks that they were overstated in the research.
Yeah, so what we see is, but more from practical application through our clients, because we always keep in touch with them, is that we see that the worst thing that happened so far is someone feeling a bit dizzy or having a headache or something. But from personal experience, we feel like these phenomena happen because of poor hydration, poor preparation. Yeah. Because I think when you do it, maybe a few people don't really keep in mind that your body is about to overclock and like really use its potential. So it makes sense to maybe even over prepare and over hydrate and focus on that before starting. So
yeah, I think what we see regarding the side effects is really, as I mentioned, we have quite a vast amount of research on the topic. But of course, the main base of the research is done in clinical settings with laser devices, and a lot of them done on animals. So I think there lies the main problem with the few negative study results we have. So it's like, I don't know, 5 to 10% of the study results are neutral, and just a handful or so are negative. And what you see when you look at them in detail is that they usually use very high dosages, because they try it out for these protocols. And of course, you have a lot of animal studies. And here we see, of course, with lasers that it can be really overdosed easily, and with animals that do not have such thick skin as we have, so to say, real hard overdosing can occur quite fast. And I think this is also the main thing that this whole industry hyped so much in the last few years, because only the last 5 years or so, we have LED technology that is ready to be used in these use cases. Yeah. And what we see is that with LEDs instead of lasers, we can produce a much more even light distribution and have a better chance of not overdosing. So overdosing with today's products like ours and others is very hard to do. So you would have to sit in front of such a device for, I would say, at least an hour or so to really have hard overdosing that could potentially be harmful. Of course, there are certain parts of your body that are more sensitive, like the eyes and so on. But yeah, in general, I think this is the main driver of the whole hype, because now we can really reap the benefits even in non-clinical settings, and you don't have to be so super careful anymore.
Even if new findings do come out that show some side effects, it wouldn't be all that different from going out and spending the entire day in the sun. After all, you get a sunburn, you get side effects from that as well. And
definitely, yeah.
Back on the topic of like junk light and the fact that you guys chose to use LEDs, and that seems like the state of the industry now. Can you talk to me a bit about what makes your LEDs unique? That was one of the things that attracted me to your products.
You spoke about two topics here. So the first thing was junk light, and the second thing was what's special about our LEDs. Junk light is hard to define, but generally, me personally as a biohacker, I would say junk light is light that impacts your circadian rhythm. So our circadian rhythm is kind of our biological clock that tells us in the morning it's time to wake up because it's light outside. And in the evening when it gets dark, it's time to sleep, calm down, and like rest for the day. And with advancements and also technological advancements in our society, we kind of don't really have that natural clock anymore because we have electronic light. We have tons of electronics that kind of are accessible 24/7. So it's really hard for our body naturally to get that, or to pick up on that sign of, okay, it's time to go to sleep now, it's dark, and that's the end of the day. So with junk light, I would now define it as light that we access at a time where, biologically speaking, maybe we shouldn't access it. And at night, that's specifically blue light and all the electronics that emit a lot of blue light. To watch out for junk light, we would recommend not consuming blue light or as little as blue light as possible after it gets dark. You can do that with blue light blocking glasses. You can do that with filters that you put on your devices. You can turn off the lights and enjoy a fireplace or candles, all different things. Or you can also use a machine like ours to not only get biological effects, but kind of replace lighting in the house with that. And that's kind of where our LEDs come into place.
Yeah, so basically, when we really talk about it, so I would say this is about general lighting at first. Like Babsi mentioned, there are a few things you should keep in mind. As we humans, we only evolved, over thousands and thousands of years and longer. And lighting, electronic lighting especially, is only here for the past 100 or so years. So it's quite a thing that we humans could not really adapt to electronic lighting so far. And so when taking into consideration electronic light for your circadian rhythm or circadian health, the other thing is that we want to do with our machines is we want to be as close as possible to nature, of course, because of course, it's a biohack. We only have research for the past 10 or 15, 20 years in specific in red light therapy in these applications. And so what we want to do is have the core of the technology be as close to as possible to science, and all the other components that we build into the devices be as close as possible to nature. So I would say that the main real benefits, effects, and differences of our devices is, first of all, what we see in the nature is that sunlight, of course, it has a bit of flicker, just a tiny bit, but in a very natural rhythm. But electronic devices, they usually flicker in like 50 hertz rates, depending on where you are on the planet. So what we try with our devices, we build in very high quality drivers that mitigate this flicker, and you basically have a stable light source. So this is one thing that we also see in general lighting that has beneficial effects on us humans if light sources do not flicker.
What's the drawback to flicker? Like on my computer or phone, if I'm staring at it, why does it matter if it flickers?
The hypothesis is, this is also not 100% proven yet, but the hypothesis is that it can have biological effect on us. So it's something that we should definitely watch out for. And if possible, because a photobiomodulation machine is a luxury, I would say, with added on electronic devices, we should definitely check for it not to be prominent in those devices, because you would just add additional strain onto your eyes, onto your body, that's not necessary.
Yeah, so with flicker, what we see in general with light sources, so to say, is that there are certain frequencies like 40 hertz frequencies that could potentially have beneficial effects for certain things. So 40 hertz, for example, is being tried with dementia and cleaning plaque in our brains. But we see if we do not control the flicker, if we do not have a substantial research base yet, we can see that it could or it can irritate us. It can make us really stressed. So the whole HPA axis could be affected by flicker in light sources. And so especially with a light like ours that is five times more powerful than the sun. And even if you close the eyes, you will get a certain amount of light in your system, also in your visual system. It could really irritate you. And I would say that the most prominent thing that we see from science is it could stress your body and therefore have basically negative effects on what you really want to benefit from.
In my review, I wrote about how you don't want to add something that's supposed to improve your health and have a silent detractor at the same time.
Exactly. That's what I was talking about or referring about when I said luxury item. It's not something you necessarily need to survive, but if you add it to your daily life, because obviously you want to improve something,
benefit from it,
you don't really want that added hassle.
Yeah, and the other thing, of course, is also things like electromagnetic frequencies that you usually have with electronic devices. And We only know so far so much about them yet and their effect on our health, but we try to minimize them as much as possible with the casing we have on our devices, so that even if you stand close, like 5 inches or 10 inches away from the device, you have almost zero electromagnetic frequencies from our devices. So I think it's a nice thing to have. And as research progresses, we will maybe see that these things like these frequencies can have negative effects. And I say maybe the third thing about what you initially spoke about the light we use in our devices is we mainly use the most proven light frequencies, light colors, the most proven spectrum in science so far. So this is wavelengths in the areas of red and near infrared light, in particular with peaks in the 660 nanometer deep red range and 850 nanometer near infrared range. These are used in, I would say, 70 to 80% of the studies we have so far, these bandwidths of wavelengths. And so we included them in our devices. You can use them together. You can switch one of them off and have just deep red or just near infrared light. And with us, what's very special, because we think most of the companies out there, they just promote, hey, use a combination of both and that's fine for you. We say, hey, especially if you test it out, if you use it on a daily basis, you want to highlight certain effects. I think Babsi will or can talk a bit about that later, but you want to focus on certain effects. And so with our devices, you can use, for example, just deep red or just near infrared light on the full panel. So you get a very even distribution of light and high intensity. So you always have 100% intensity. Usually with other products, you have just 50% if you switch on, for example, just deep red light. And therefore, you can really dose your devices properly and use them for almost all use cases that you want.
Basically, Thomas just described our dual LED feature. That's what I was going to add on to after you were finished. So with us, a common misconception, just to summarize really quickly, is that both wavelengths all the time work the best. But that's definitely not true, and because we want everyone to give the chance to test out, as Thomas already said, with the dual LEDs, if you choose to do only red or near infrared, all lenses of the panel light up. So with any other company, this is an industry first, and we're the only ones that do that, you actually use the whole panel at the same intensity all the time. With the other ones, it's 50% instantly if you choose to use only one wavelength. So I think that's definitely an added value that if that's important to someone, of course, it's a question of perspective, maybe, that people have different importances in choosing a device like this. But it's definitely an added value that gives you more freedom to use your device at the same positive effects and at the same intensity.
That's a big value add.
Yeah.
The effects on the brain, is that purely from upregulating mitochondria, or is there more going on behind the scenes?
Yeah, I would say when looking at the brain, as I mentioned, especially in the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years, we have a lot more research regarding the brain. I would say the most prominent research questions that are going to or is, are currently being answered are exactly what you say. Okay, what are the effects? What are the hypotheses we have so far on why this technology might enhance brain function, might help with things like Alzheimer's or dementia, or even healing from big operations or injuries that you might have? And I would say, depending on really what the case is, the mechanism of function is different. So when talking about injuries, so red near infrared light is currently trialed a lot with brain injuries, for example. And here, I think the main working mechanism is like with all other kinds of injuries in your body. So upregulating mitochondria, supercharging wound healing, and therefore, healing can occur faster. The other thing is with issues like dementia, Alzheimer's, what we see here is that first of all, it's also possibly this mechanism of upregulating the mitochondria. And then we see effects of like getting your body in something like a cleaning mode. So it tries to clean out the brain. This is, I would say, to a certain extent to the mitochondria that is overpowering. And to a certain extent on something that we cannot pinpoint so far, that could be some other effect of the light, or maybe, in certain tests they use frequencies, and this could also be part of it. And the third thing is like getting more performance, getting better sleep, and so on. Why are shining light on your a brain or on your skull? And what we see here is it's a connection between overcharging your mitochondria. And the second thing is something like relaxing all the tissue, because what we also see is that these kind of wavelengths, they relax tissue. And for example, if you sleep, there might be cases where you get something like very low headaches that you cannot even sense. And this can relax your whole brain, plus the mitochondrial action, and then you supercharge your performance or sleep.
But also, when we target the brain, we don't only target the brain, but also under other organs, like the pituitary gland or the adrenal gland. So our immune system, our hormonal system, our mood, our emotional well-being is also directly targeted. So that's definitely a working mechanism that we should think about, not only mitochondrial activation, tissue alteration, like Thomas was talking about.
Definitely, yeah.
And so it overall brings the body back into homeostasis. And if the brain isn't working as well as it could because it's been thrown out of homeostasis, it'll help realign.
Definitely, exactly. Creating balance.
Say that my brain is already healthy and I'm looking for an extra little edge. Mm-hmm. Can red light therapy help me?
For an extra bit of edge, yes, definitely. We call this red light therapy for CEOs, kind of. We talk a lot about this. So topics like focus, concentration, coming into a flow state easier are definitely big research topics as well, where we see, especially with near-infrared light, if we target it on the top of our head, so the hypothalamus and the prefrontal cortex, we see that that brings a lot of benefits that can definitely help. Or on the other hand, not only targeted use, but also full body use, where you expose your full body to red and near infrared wavelengths, is where you get the brain benefits that I was just talking about, but also additionally recovery, better circulation. So it's a systemic effect as well.
And I would say this systemic effect, the way basically upregulate all the mitochondria within your body, or if you think you already are a very high performer, you do not have issues regarding your energy levels, because especially with high performance, you have times where you're not just flowing along, but where you have to get in something like fight mode or so. And if your body has this added pool of potential, basically, you can draw from that energy source that you then have. And especially in these stressful situations, you can perform even better.
Okay. And on the other side of the spectrum, if I'm an athlete and I want to get better workouts, recover faster, what are some of the things that red light therapy does there?
So generally, it depends on the timing of when you would use red light therapy. You can do it before your workout to really prime yourself for that workout, prevent injuries, prevent muscle tears that happen. If you do it after your workout, you can really aid into recovery, it happening in a shorter period of time. Also, again, helping with those small tears, bettering the circulation, helping with outside skin injuries as well. If you got them during training, your immune system, your hormonal system. So it really depends on when you use it. And then additionally, as you already said, recovering better. I would definitely add that recovery, good recovery, and actually taking time for recovery, not only for athletes, but specifically for athletes, is the key ingredient to peak performance. Because if you don't recover well, you will not perform well.
We want to think that muscle is built in the gym or during training, but really, when we recover and when we sleep, our body repairs itself. And something that enhances your body's ability to repair itself, therefore, should lead to better results from training.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely. And how you recover will not only affect your muscle performance, but also your longevity. You know, that's a big topic also for athletes. You can only peak perform for a short period of time. So this can also help you kind of maybe stay in that professional realm for a bit longer. Very big topic.
Especially because what we usually, what we often see with athletes is if you perform at a very high level, you always get injuries somehow. And usually it's like that. If you train, you get small injuries. You don't feel them instantly. And then after some time, they show. But with, for example, if you prepare with things like red light therapy that help you recover faster and heal those injuries when they are still so tiny that you don't sense them, you can overpower those injuries. You don't even get them because you can't take care about them before they arise.
I attended a advanced fitness certification last weekend. And in talking to a fellow trainer, we were talking about how fitness and training is a numbers game. And with enough time, everyone will eventually get injured. Anything you can do to avoid that, to prolong your career, will pay back dividends.
Definitely.
And one of the things I loved about what you guys are doing is that you guys have a thorough, pretty comprehensive research bank on your website where you break down the new studies that are coming out and interpret them for the layperson who doesn't want to read dozens and dozens of pages of science speak. What else is going on behind the scenes at Luminous Red, and what makes your community special?
First and foremost, that it's a bunch of different people. So we don't have that stereotypical customer that's a pro athlete and wants to have better peak performance. We have everyday people with different wants and needs. And nobody is afraid to ask questions. So it's a mixture of different people, customers, non-customers, people that have even bought machines from other brands that just need help kind of in using the device. We always want to encourage kind of asking questions, seeing the research behind it, knowing how to use it, kind of really using it to the best of its ability. And yeah, becoming your best self. I think that's the most special thing about our community.
Yeah, and I think within that kind of work, what we really saw is that research is great. And as you mentioned, we have a huge research database on our website, but it is only the first step. It's still a very infant technology that we use. We see it has great potential, but we also have the problem, I would say, that we do not have comprehensive studies on humans, individuals, as of now. So when you start your red light journey, basically, it really takes your energy and dedication that you try out the devices, try out the initial guidelines, and then adapt your regimen along the way.
Yeah.
And that is where we think it is very important to help out our community, our customers, and also get the feedback back that we can then use. So when talking about where Luminous Red is going, I think our next step or that we are currently doing is we founded a company, a bigger company here in Austria in February, the Luminous Labs company, basically, where we also want to focus on research in the area of red and near infrared light. And the first step here is that we are now joining a high-tech incubator here in Austria, where we will be linked with researchers and university bodies that will provide us with the necessary research resources to really dig into that and use data to optimize like treatment regimens and really provide each and every user of our technology and also potentially others with the necessary know-how.
So it's very much a win-win situation where we first and foremost talk to people, but also get great feedback where we as a research or learning organization can really work on what's needed out there. But we want to find out better how you can track red light therapy, like just the usage of red light therapy better. Mm. What are the things that are actually happening in our body, and then take that knowledge and give even better guidance on application of how that's possible. That's definitely the next thing for this year, I would say.
Yeah.
In addition to getting more people into red light therapy, do you guys do anything to get more out of each of your sessions?
Definitely. We love doing that. And for me personally, I use red light therapy for, as I already said, like psychological mood, but also for the beauty and skin benefits. And I read a lot of studies that say green tea. So just cotton pads soaked in green tea and then put them on your face. So your skin has green tea on it, or drinking green tea internally, externally, however you would prefer, helps the light to penetrate even deeper into the tissue. So I think that's something that's really, really interesting and easy to do.
And I think in the first few studies on the topic, researchers saw that you can around 6x your effect, so 6 times faster.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, skin beautifying effects with just green tea.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting.
What's the protocol there? Do I brush on some green tea about an hour before or as I'm going in?
In the studies that I was reading, they literally just took a cotton pad, swapped it into cold green tea, and then swapped it onto their faces and then immediately sat in front of the red light. So imagine your skin being soaked in green tea. You can also do a green tea clay mask or whatever green tea, that's the main thing, and then go in front of the red light immediately or have it on while doing photobiomodulation.
And some other things that we really see paying off is that, as Babsi already mentioned, is like if you really prime yourself for your session, so meaning hydrate yourself properly. Yeah. What we also see helps a lot of people that, especially in the beginning, they get slight headaches or something like that, is that if they take, for example, MCT oil before their session, so they really have some added energy for their cells that can then be used for overclocking.
Also combining with other biohacks, we just brought out, I think, a blog post, a podcast, so lots of content out there on the combination of cold thermogenesis with red light therapy, where we see that if you do cold exposure before and then right when you get out, when your body is turning red because it's starting to work, jump in front of a red light therapy machine, and then the light penetration again will be much, much, much deeper and more effective.
Yeah. I call that technique shiver and shine.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think I'll remember that one. We have to use that too, if it's okay.
Yeah, definitely. I also like to use methylene blue to get a little bit more out of my mitochondria.
Wanted to tell you that.
Oh, go ahead.
I do that for like the last 2 months or so. because what I usually do is I track all my states. I also have a colleague in Switzerland that is now using our devices, and he's tracking all his bodily stats for the last, I think, five years or so. And he's now using our device, and together we sometimes use a method in Brew. It's quite interesting because first of all, I don't know what is your experience with it. So using method in Brew and red light.
I don't use it all that often. I tend to go the natural route more often than not, but sometimes I do, and I do feel something. I do feel a little extra energy, a little more mental clarity. I'm not sure about the methylene blue I have. It's very hard to find high quality, like pharmaceutical grade methylene blue.
What I really see is I have a liquid. It's a company from, I think, the UK. It's a few guys that work in a lab, and they produce really high quality stuff. And for me, it's like I love to use it during the day. So if I have a hard hard morning, and then at noon I take a full body session of red light therapy, and like I don't know, between 40 to 80 minutes before, I think I take the methylene blue, because it takes some time to really get in your body, in your blood. And then I do usually a full body session. And I have also, like you say, this added kick, like getting a pinch of coffee while having your therapy. And for me, what it really takes, or what it does, that's interesting. If I take measurements of my heart rate variability before the session and after, I usually see that it adds like 10 to 20% of added performance if I use methylene blue in combination with red light instead of just the red light.
That's very interesting. I tend to take it more often when I go out and plan on being in the sun for the entire day.
Yeah.
As a little like extra protection bonus. I prefer to have the powder, but I have the liquid as well, and it makes my entire mouth a very blue color.
It's a good look.
It's an acquired look.
Yeah.
Say someone wants to improve the lighting in their life, and they realize that they have maybe some of this junk light, blue light. The common sources are everywhere, from screens to even just like incandescent lights that look... might look yellow or look white, but they're actually putting off a lot of blue. What can they do to upgrade the lighting around their house?
Because I would say the first thing that you have to do is really get into the mindset of a caveman, basically. Because that's like how we as our bodies are used to perceive light. So the most important thing, if it's possible, and it should be possible for everyone, when you get up in the morning, look outside the window, go out for a walk, have this blue light, even if it's cloudy, it works. Have this light in your eyes. That does a lot for your body, because it kickstarts your circadian rhythm. It tells your body, hey, it's day, and all the processes start. So I think for me, this is the most important thing. And then when evening starts, again, think like a caveman. So once it gets dark outside, you can be outside or you can go inside and try to have, of course, no blue light, first of all. So so try to minimize blue light as much as possible. No screens, or if you have screens, switch them on like amber mode that most of them have. Try to find out if the lighting inside your house or flat has a lot of blue in it. So mostly usually things like LED lights, they have a huge blue peak that we do not always perceive, but is perceived by our circadian system. So take care of that. And then also, if you look at the lighting inside, try to mimic a cave as much as possible. So have a lot of light on, not a lot, but have the light on your walls, like torches. And also try to center your flat, I would say, or center your living space. So have these spaces like we used to have, where there's fire on one place and then you have dark again and so on. This really calms down our whole nervous system, body, also our thinking and mind. And so the one thing to do is think like a caveman. That's all. And minimize blue light, of course. Yeah.
Good summary. And I recently interviewed a chronobiologist named Greg Potter, and he was elaborating on that, explaining how it's not just the color and the intensity of the light, but even something as simple as where it's located. If it's directly overhead, it affects your retina, your eyes, and your nervous system differently than if it's lower. And that goes to show there's still so many unexplored frontiers of light to this day.
Definitely. So, for example, when I studied lighting design, I studied with, name is Christian Bartenbach. He's like one of the geniuses in light, in daylight design and lighting design in general. And he really emphasized this kind of thought that I said, think like a caveman. And what we see right now in biohacking is that a lot of companies come out with something like a red bulbs and say, okay, just replace your usual lighting with red bulbs and that does the trick. But to be honest, I think, and science also suggests things like that, is it's, like you said, not just about the color and maybe the intensity, but really like how you perceive the space around you. And that does so much more. So the best thing, as I said, that we can do, especially as biohackers and especially so early in the whole science of this field, is to mimic what we used to see and how we used to live hundreds of years ago as much as possible. Because we know it works and our bodies and minds adapted to it.
If I'm thinking like a caveman, I'm wondering if there's a time window in which I should no longer use light therapy, even if it's red lights at night. Like a lot of times it'll be 9 p.m. and I usually go to sleep 10:30. And I think to myself, I still want to get a session in, but is it too late? Am I going to like energize myself by sitting in front of the red light therapy device for 20-30 minutes right now?
With something like red light therapy.
Really hard question.
Because it's really not what we are used to as humans. And it's something artificial. So what we see is there is not a lot of research on that topic yet. So
also, really important, we can't give an answer that will work for everyone, because there's also people out there that can drink a cup of coffee right before they go to sleep and then sleep quietly all night. Other people can have coffee after 2 p.m.
Yeah.
So it's really, really different.
There are a few insights that people use out there. And one of them is Dr. Hamblin, one of the key researchers in red and near or photobiomodulation in general. He uses, for example, near infrared light on his head before going to sleep. So he suggested this one time because it works for his deep sleep a lot. And I myself, I also use a device before going to sleep. And I see on my trackers that it adds deep sleep to my sleep routine. So I cannot say in the long term if it's super good and beneficial, but as far as the things that we use to track our health status show, it can add something to it. Yeah.
And also what we kind of suggest, if you want to do it right before sleep, we kind of suggest going with near infrared only, because also the eyes play a very important role. With the red light, it being really, really intense, it hypothesis, not working for everyone, no medical advice, but it could really wake you up your system and then
even though it's red light.
So if you do it right before sleep, try out only near infrared.
Yeah.
And otherwise I would do like 2 hours before going to sleep. I think you're fine to use red light as well, but also suggest it very cautiously
and see for yourself.
Thomas, you mentioned several times running personal N=1, or maybe in this case N=2 experiments. What do you use to track these? What device or devices?
So I personally, I use for general tracking, I use a Whoop band. So this band tracks your heart rate, resting heart rate, the respiratory rate, and also heart rate variability during sleep or at the end of your sleep. And so you get a good overview about I would say the general your performance of your body, general how it looks. And added to that, what I usually use is a heart rate monitor, so a strap that that is also used in scientific research a lot, and that can measure your heart rate variability to a very good extent. And I use that usually to measure, to compare interventions that I do. So for example, yeah. like I mentioned for the methylene blue experiment, I like to use things like that to get something like a before and after effect, or at least I try to.
Well, it's been really fun chatting with you guys. As always, I do have a few more questions for you. Are there any other wavelengths that are up and coming that you guys are waiting to see more research on?
I think on wavelengths, we're very much set on red and near infrared light. But as we mentioned for now, but as we mentioned before, being able to track photobiomodulation, like Thomas was just talking about with before and afters, where you can really measure what the direct impact is, not only the underlying baseline and getting those 10-20%, but like really being able to focus on the core effects, I would call it. And then, yeah, being able to make better suggestions on usage, more custom fit, but also more general, if that makes sense. And I think another one would be because we're very excited to like get into the B2B market as well, like spas, fitness studios, all of that. And I think with Thomas's design background, we're now really excited to kind of incorporate machines or develop machines more that fit into a space that's already there, kind of. So that's definitely
because
another direction.
What we see a lot right now is, especially in the sector of high performance, is that if you're a geek, it's fine like it is now, where you have your machines around your house and can use them. But but if you're, for example, in a work setting and want to get that added boost for this client sales pitch that you have, for example, then it's something like creating your regimen, creating kind of a ritual before you do that. And so I think that's super interesting, where you see, okay, there are a few things that you can take, like supplements and nootropics, and also maybe to really integrate these kind of things like the light therapy or other things into your built space and use them that way.
It's an exciting future.
Yes.
So where can those that are interested connect with you guys?
Very easy. We have Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Pinterest. Our handle everywhere is luminousred.light. Our email address is hello@luminousred. But yeah, also through you directly, we have collaborated before. So we have this great review. Thank you again for that. We have a comparison. And under there, I'm sure there are contact possibilities also. So
definitely
very, very easy to reach us.
So, and for us, what's always super important is that even if you, because we know something like red light therapy is a big investment for most of the people out there. And they are really eager to try it and use it for the next 10, 20, 30 years. And add it to their health span regimen, I would say, a performance regimen. And so what we see is a lot of people always have remaining questions, being it how they can use it, or is it how they can install it in their home, or other things. And so just get in contact with us. That's the most important thing. We love to talk to everyone and answer specific questions, because I think it's so important to get everything answered before you make that decision.
But also, if you want to test it out, we have a really cool 30-day money satisfaction or money back guarantee, we call it, where, because we know there are a lot of questions, it's experimental, everyone should experience it. You can basically get the device, and if you shouldn't like it or feel like it's not for you, you can send it back within 30 days without a hassle. So we really try to make it as accessible as possible.
I can vouch for that. Before I purchased, I talked to them on the phone, grilled them, asked them lots of thorough questions to make sure they knew what they were doing, building good quality products, which is rare in red light. I've actually heard from other members of my audience that they reached out to you guys and you said, hey, like maybe red light therapy later, but first you want to shore up these other things.
Yes.
That's a testament to your values.
Thank you. Means a lot.
We've also arranged a special discount. If you guys use promo code URBAN on the Luminous Red website, you'll save. And the links to that will be in the show notes. Now on to the rapid fire questions.
Ooh.
if there was a burning of the books and all information on Earth is lost permanently, you guys get to save three works. They can be books, podcasts, YouTubes, whatever you want. What would you choose?
For me, the first thing that comes to mind is music. So my personal own playlist that I have, doesn't matter if I'm sad, if I'm happy, I need to listen to music every day at least once, even if it's just 2-3 minutes, to ground myself, to really be happy, to really have something meaningful. So that's kind of the first thing.
What kind of music?
My playlist, a lot of pop, R&B, everything.
One artist.
As long as it makes me happy, that's like the important thing.
Mention one artist.
One artist. Yes. Right now, her. I don't know if people know her. Yeah.
Perfect. For me, the first thing that comes to mind is it's a video or something like that. A video so far, because the artist is unfortunately already dead. It's like the ending speech of Bill Hicks. He was a comedian that always ended his gigs, his shows, with a metaphor or a story about how human life should be. And so the gist of it is, it's about love. You can choose your whatever you do any moment of time. So it's like a ride in a roller coaster that goes up and down and around that. It has thrills and chills, but it's about love in the end. So that's my thing. And maybe
we have a book that both of us love.
Yeah, we could do that as the third thing.
Yeah.
So this
is from a German author.
No, it's not German.
Sorry.
But wrong. His name is almost German. Yeah. Daniel Kahneman, and it's Thinking Slow and Fast, or Fast and Slow, one of those two things. It's I think he got a
Nobel
Prize for his work, for his life's work. It's basically a mixture, I would say, of business, psychology, and much, much more.
Yeah.
So he describes how we humans think. So that we have two modes of thinking. One is like a very optimistic mode of thinking, where we that we usually use. And the second is basically something like the fight and flight mode. Hmm. And so he describes in his book a lot of cases where these kind of thinking or modes are applied.
And it's about the balance of both of them, like full circle, photobiomodulation also balances you out. I think that's kind of what draws us to this book, is that both of them are very important. Both of them should exist, but we should bring them into balance.
Definitely.
What's the best and also the worst advice you've ever received?
The worst or the best?
Oh, both.
Wow. Both. So for
rapid
me,
fire.
The best one, because I'm a very optimistic person, so I guess I'll just remember the best ones, is not to take life too seriously, first of all, and just being your authentic, true, maybe even weird self. Being weird is awesome. So just be however you are. I think that's the best advice.
I think for me, worst advice is make it before you're 30. So really strive hard. I think it's not valid anymore in today's world, because we will all get over 100 or 150 or even older. So you can take your time.
Yeah.
And I think this is also the good one is like you can learn till you're 60, 70, 80 and find whatever suits you along the way. So take your time, take the time you really need.
And life is just a ride.
Life is just a ride, yes.
It feels like a race that we have to have everything figured out today or tomorrow, but that's just not the case.
Yeah, yes. Not realistic at all.
All right, my final question for you guys is, what is one thing that your Luminous Red tribe doesn't know about you?
Oh my God. We're such an open book. Wait. Maybe I haven't mentioned that is that my parents are based or from Macedonia, and I'm like the first generation Austrian in my siblings from Austria. So maybe that's interesting. Maybe, I don't know. Haven't said it yet. What about you?
And about me, I think I think my short journey into the fintech world. So I led a fintech 3 years ago, was a success, was great. And then after really being able to choose again, I went into direction of light again. So
direction of light. Wow. How
apt. He didn't think he was going to do something in that realm. And now he's here, which is so cool. Fire questions answered.
Yeah. Thank you both for your time. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you guys and having you on the show today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for taking the time. To everyone that's interested, as we said, please get in touch either through Nick or through us. We're very, very excited to meet you, to have you as part of our tribe. And yeah, hope to talk soon.
All right. Until next time. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.
Bye.